Yo, ladies and gentlemen.
Yo, 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 what's up, boys and girls?
You know what time it is?
What time is it, Megan?
It's time to learn something. What's it time to learn something about?
Is it about frogs?
No.
Is it?
Fuck frogs.
Oh, okay. Is it about, ice dancing?
No.
Is it about animal husbandry?
No.
Is it about the Quaker Oats Man?
No.
Is it about Chinese philosophy?
No.
Is it about Finding Nemo?
No. Keep going.
Is it about chalk, sidewalk chalk?
No.
Is it about magic?
What? Yes, it is.
Wow.
Oh my goodness, you just so happened to stumble on what we're talking about today.
Amazing.
And every day.
What luck.
If we're being honest.
This is Magically Amateuring. Hi everybody, I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
And I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
Thanks for tuning in and or watching us with your eyeballs.
Yeah, either way, I think you've got to be tuned in to do it.
This is a show for players who are new to the game of Magic, veterans who are returning to the game, and anybody who likes to have some kind of, you know, rumbling laughter from down in the...
From their tumbling smacter.
Nope. This is why I do this, Megan.
Look, I'm just saying that a couple of people had written specifically that they felt like you were getting kind of lax.
Yeah, that is true.
With your different, like, chuckle places and types of chuckles. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to try and contribute, and it's obvious that I shouldn't have.
It's okay. Everyone stumbles, you know?
Yeah. Some of us never start... In the first place.
Some of us never walk correctly ever. I was going to say, how did I set it up? I can't even remember.
I don't know.
Anyway, my new word for where your laughs come from today is going to be the joy pit.
The joy pit? Okay, that's fair.
My laughs come from my joy pit. I don't know about you guys out there. Look on a map of the body. Locate the joy pit. That's where they come from. Science.
If you open up a box of Operation, you'll see it. They've added joy pit. It.
Mm-hmm. On today's show, it's the last show of 2016, Megan.
It's the last show of 2015.
Oh my god, what year is it?
Maria, wake up!
It's 2015 again. Oh my god, I've already lived this year.
What happened?
Now I can do everything better. Donald Trump definitely didn't get elected president. Oh god,
thank god
I've got
for
some
that.
Work to do. See you later. Wow, I've already advanced. You know how those some people still write 2015 on their checks for 3 months after the new year?
You've jumped ahead of the curve.
I'm already writing 2016 on all of my checks that I just simply do not write because nobody writes checks anymore.
Let's get rid of this motherfucker. I write checks. They still have my address from 3 addresses ago on them.
Mm-hmm. That's how it goes.
Because why can you only buy like 500? You can only buy like 500 checks at once. And I'm like,
it's true.
I needed about 6. I needed about 6 checks.
Let me ask you this question. Is your address on your driver's license current?
Nope.
Yeah, me either. High five. Yeah.
I feel like if anyone is with the Minnesota government, they could, especially the Department of Transportation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We will potentially be getting some citations for this portion of our podcast.
Don't arrest us. Oh my god.
I think at most you can be fined. I think I'm still within you're definitely not.
Oh.
I think I'm still within my legal limit.
What, your grace period?
Yes. Inside. I'm always in a grace period.
Grace period. Next Sunday on Hallmark. Anyway, on today's show, we're going to be doing some New Year's resolutions because, as I before did not state correctly, it's about to be the new year. And in fact, we're going into 2016.
Absolutely.
And
it's our last episode.
It's our last episode of 2015.
Holy cow.
It's time to assess where we want to be in 2016.
That's right. Where are we going? What are we doing? How are we doing it? And why?
Yeah, I don't know how you're going, Megan, but I'm definitely going in one of those like little push cars where you have to drive it with your feet and you're a child.
Oh, yeah, that sounds lovely.
Okay.
I'm by bicycle.
No, power wheels are powered.
As evidenced by the word power.
Those things were cool. Never got one, though. Smart parents. Good move on that. Children should not drive.
No. Really, fairly few people should drive. We're being pretty frank about it.
We also have some Oath of the Gatewatch spoiler action coming up, as well as new mechanics for the new set, which have been recently spoiled.
Absolutely. They've released, there's an article up on Daily MTG about the mechanics that we're going to see in Oath of the Gatewatch, It's pretty cool.
Yeah, some exciting stuff.
I'm pretty excited.
And we have some letters to answer in our mailbag. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well. Remember, if you guys are listening to this on Tuesday when it gets released, you can watch it with your eyeballs on Friday over at Tulare Community College on YouTube. And while you're there, why don't you stick around and watch some of the professor's other videos? He has reviews on all sorts of great stuff.
Absolutely.
And other
if
fun
you're like, what
videos.
Sort of trade binder should I should I purchase? He can let you know which ones are good and which ones are crap.
Yeah.
If you want to know how Nyssa is doing in her educational pursuits right now, the answer is not particularly well. Watch her have a slightly uncomfortable visit with the counselor.
Yep, I love it. I love that video.
It's great.
And in you guys, we have some rewards for you on Patreon as well. So if you'd like to support the show, head over to patreon.com/mtacast. You don't have to, but it's a great way to show us that you like what we're doing and you want us to continue to do it. We're mailing out rewards every day, one of which is this lovely t-shirt that I'm wearing that says "Good Luck High Five." Boom. Isn't it lovely? Men's and women's sizes available. Yeah, and it's really cool. Printed locally.
You can also get one of these suckers on the website.
Yes, magicktheamateurine.com. We sell them straight off the website. Straight off it.
$25.
And I will personally lick the envelope that it's mailed in, so you can clone me if you
really
want.
You shouldn't, because I've seen them and they're the peel away kind.
Yeah, but I'm just adding that in there as an incentive.
You're just licking the outside of the envelope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So
isn't that special?
If you have ever wanted your own Maria clone to tell you kind of stomach jokes, it's possible. You also have to be pretty good at science, but that's whatever.
But only pretty good.
Pretty good. Not super good.
Yeah. So, Maria.
What?
There was an article on Daily MTG today.
There is usually one on Daily MTG.
There usually is one. There were multiple articles up there today. But specifically, there is one all about the new mechanics that we're going to see in Oath of the Gatewatch.
I'm so excited, y'all.
How sweet is that?
I'm really excited. I mean, this article is really what kicks off the new set for me, is kind of when we learn the new mechanics, because then we can we know what to expect from a lot of the cards that we're going to see spoiled over the next few weeks. So
it tells you, it continues to tell you a little bit about the story. What is the story of this block going to continue to be? One of those stories we know so far is wastes.
Yeah, wastes.
These are basic lands that produce no color at all. They produce only colorless mana.
It's a good thing to review this, too. I would suggest heading over to dailymtg.com. They do release a pre-release primer, I know. But it's good to study this stuff before you go to your pre-release, which will be happening in January for Oath of the Gatewatch. So a lot of common questions come up that they address in these articles. So it's just a suggestion.
Yes. Most importantly, which I imagine will be one about generic mana versus now specifically colorless mana. Because we've seen a couple of cards spoiled, including one that's in this article, that have the little like colorless diamond symbol thing on them, which I've heard called wingdings. It costs one and wingdings.
Wingdings.
And it totally is. It's just like someone was like typing in wingdings and they were like,
oh
this
one looks
nice.
It's an actual math symbol. It has a name that is not diamond, but I forgot what it was.
Because it's not a diamond, because it has the little curvy sides.
Yeah,
It's like a curvy diamond.
Somebody's going to tweet it at us.
Yes.
Thank you in advance.
There are cards which cost, this one costs one generic mana, so one of colorless or any color, and then one specifically
colorless
mana.
Colorless versus generic fight.
Exactly. So it can't just be like a
red.
Blue mana or a red mana. It has to be actually colorless, which might be produced by a wasteland that you have, or it might be produced by if you have one of those fancy dual lands. Of some kinds, like a shambling vent. I believe it can tap to produce colorless, or it can tap to produce black or white, stuff like that.
That's a good point. So over the years, there have been a lot of different lands which have produced colorless mana, specifically colorless mana, and that's what you're looking for when you have a waste mana symbol.
Exactly. So this card is pretty sweet. It's called Spatial Contortion.
Great art,
yes.
BTW.
It's an instant. It's a little bit like there's one of these in a past set that was like a blue and a black that did a similar thing. But this one is target creature gets +3/-3 until end of turn.
Nice.
Ooh. So it could be a pump spell. It could be a kill spell.
Yes.
What flexibility.
For only 2 mana getting -3 to your opponent's creature, that's one heck of a deal,
it's
you know?
One heck of a deal.
So yeah, that's exciting. Wastes. And there's going to be a lot of questions, like Megan said, that come up about waste mana. But as long as you've listened to this podcast, you should be good to go.
Absolutely.
Because it's really not more complicated than that at all, even though it sounds more complicated.
Exactly. I feel like it's one of those issues that it's like, the more that you overthink it, the more you're going to get twisted up. If you just let the facts be what they want to be.
Yeah, just let the facts be what they want to be. Oh, okay. So here's some things to remember about wastes, which we're going to have Judge Rob come on the show in a couple of weeks, and he'll probably give us the lowdown, but just a real quick note.
Okay.
Give us
the note.
If an effect instructs you to choose a basic land type, you cannot choose wastes. Just FYI.
Ooh, interesting.
In limited events, you can play wastes only if it's in your card pool.
Ah.
Same, so sealed deck, you know, booster draft, same thing.
Yeah, it'll only be the wastes that you open or the wastes that you draft. They won't be available at a basic land stand.
A basic land stand.
They're called stations, and I think I figured out why.
Because basic land stand sounds like a fun gymnastic move.
Oh, man. I heard that the band's going to play at the basic land stand.
Oh, let's go see the band at the basic land stand.
It's going to be grand.
I'm going to go to a yoga class, and I'm going to be like, and now, everyone get into your basic land stand. Yes, feel your chi. Mm. Feel the mountains, if that's what you're into. Mm-hmm. The island rise up within you. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you're feeling a bit of your own swampiness come back to bite you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yoga, sometimes their swampiness comes out, and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Embarrassing. All right, let's get to the next new mechanic.
Oh, yeah. This one is called Cohort.
Cohort.
It's the allies. That's another thing that they've got going on. Because, you know, as a Zendikar, it's not lost to the Eldrazi quite yet.
No.
I'm really pulling for it to just be totally decimated by the end of the storyline.
We're so bad.
I know, but I really just want Zendikar to just be ruined.
So do I. I want a tragic tale, and people are mad that we said that. And that's fine. You can be mad that we said that.
I get it.
But we like drama, okay?
It's a sentimental place. Lots of people have really nice memories there. They went on vacation there. They went on their honeymoons there.
Yeah.
They're like, it's special to me. Do you know what?
No.
Tear it down.
Tear it down.
Flatten it.
If I was his Death Star, I would blow it up.
Yeah.
In one press of my button.
Yep. There's just one button that you have to press in the Death Star.
Isn't there just one, like just a big red button?
Just
boom.
One red button.
I can't remember. Blow up planet. I can't remember if we see somebody press the button, but for some reason I think we do.
It can't be that easy.
Are you
kidding
me? There
has to be like a couple of switches and levers. Otherwise, what if someone like trips and falls on the button?
Well, you got to be aimed at a planet.
No, it just fires until it hits something. It just keeps going.
So this is my argument. You spend all this time and money building a Death Star. It's huge. There's like rooms for all of the workers. There's bathrooms on this thing. There's everything you could ever want.
There's the waste. Shoot.
There's the trash compactor. There's probably several throne rooms.
Yeah.
For Darth. And then like, you know, if you've spent this much time and money, give me a goddamn button that I can press to blow up a planet.
that says blow up planet. Yeah. I mean, I get where you're coming from. I'm just saying, probably you have to, like, put in a key and turn it also.
Like, two keys or just one?
Maybe just one key.
I don't know.
Like, but only one person has the key.
Somebody find out.
Okay.
Somebody out there knows.
Somebody Google, how do you blow up a planet with the Death Star?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cohort.
Cohort. So, you guys, these are the allies. They get this mechanic. And cohort abilities require two allies. To work together. And for instance, the one that is spoiled in the article is Munda's Vanguard, 4 and a white for a creature core knight ally at rare. And it has cohort, tap an untapped ally you control. So you have to both tap this ally and you have to tap another ally.
Why?
Because it's cohort. Cohort means more than one.
Oh, so like this one taps you're gonna have to and tap then this the one. Other one?
Well, it's part of the cost. Right. Well, in order to
couldn't you tap itself? That's my question.
No, because it has its own tap symbol. See how it has the little arrow? Mm-hmm. So you have to tap this one and tap an untapped ally you control.
Okay.
Put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control.
Yikes.
Yikes.
That's free.
Holy bonkers.
FYI.
Well, you got to tap this and an untapped ally you control.
I'm saying I'm not paying any mana for this.
Mm-mm. No, you're not.
I'm just tapping my friends.
Tapping your friends. You can do it at instant speed.
Tap your friends at instant speed.
This sounds like an ad for Snapchat.
Yeah, it does.
We're told that the cost of each cohort ability is the same, so it's always going to be tapping the creature with the ability and tapping another ally that you control, but the effects are going to be wildly different.
That's really cool.
Which is going to be pretty sweet. It's really showing you those allies working together, man.
So that was Munda's Vanguard, 4 and a white, for a 3/3 that does that. So that's at rare, and you can just, you know, like these kinds of cards because they're what we say, they kind of measure well throughout the game. So if you have nothing to do else to do, this is kind of like, what was it,
Outlast.
No, Outlast, yeah, where you just spend your turn pumping up your team if you had nothing better to do or whatever. So absolutely, they scale well. That's the word I was looking for, scale well.
Yeah. Then we also have support.
Support.
Which is not necessarily just allies, but, you know, it's also different sorceries or instants, that sort of thing. Like this one, if you want to go ahead.
Sure. And we've got shoulder to shoulder, 2 and a white, sorcery, support 2. And that means put a +1/+1 counter on each of up to 2 target creatures. Draw a card.
Wow. So this means you... on each of up to 2 target creatures. So you can only put, like, you can't put 2 counters on the same creature.
Right.
But you can put a +1/+1 counter on one guy and a +1/+1 counter on another. If you don't have 2, you can still use this card because it says up to. We also get a creature. We have a creature spoiled with this. Yes.
This is Gladeheart Cavalry. Mm. 5 green for a 6/6.
My oh my.
Rare. When Gladeheart Cavalry enters the battlefield, support 6.
Ooh.
What? I can put +1/+1 counters on up to 6 other target creatures.
Holy snap!
Whenever a creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it dies, you gain 2 life.
Nice.
All right.
Solid.
I'm sold.
7 mana is a lot.
Yeah. But it's not, you know, it's not the most mana ever in this format.
No, it's not the most mana ever. And I believe that you can also put a, we'll check with Judge Rob, but could you put a counter on this, do you think?
It says on...
when it enters the battlefield, so it'll already be in the battlefield?
6 other target creatures.
Oh, other.
Mm-hmm.
Good reading of the word other.
I, you know, that was my major in college.
Reading the word other?
Yeah.
Oh, You've done really well.
Thank you.
You know, people always say major in something that will be applicable.
Yes. And something you love, which reading the word other is really something I love to do.
You love. Mm-hmm. And applicable to the real world. So really nice work. Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Next we have Surge.
Surge, which I know as a 90s soda that would probably kill you if you drank enough of it.
I've heard people talk about Surge, never had it.
Megan.
In the 90s, my mom was still an uber hippie and we did not drink soda.
You know what? You gotta get that P.O. box set up because someone needs to mail you a Surge pronto.
Someone needs to mail me a can of Surge.
It's gonna explode when you open it, but you'll have some left.
It'll be great.
Because seriously, Surge is kind of awful, if I have to be honest.
Yeah.
I really prefer Kick, which is a far sugarier version of Surge.
Oh my goodness. There was a soda called Kick?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's just called Kick.
Yes.
Hey, you want a kick?
Hey, bro, let's kick it. Had a whole different meaning back in the 90s. If you guys...
Especially since you had to be actually related to someone to call them your bro in the 90s.
I really want to... I'm like, I should do a Twitter poll of who likes Kick or Surge more, but I know people are going to say Surge more because not everybody knew about Kick. But it was superior.
I've never heard of it.
It was far more sugary, and Surge is kind of has a sour sort of flavor to it, I would say. Anyway, I'm going to try and see if I can find some for you, Megan, because it was the worst. All right.
So these are cards that have a normal cost, and then they have an effect. Like, one that's on here is Comparative Analysis. It's 3 and a blue for an instant target player draws 2 cards, which is pretty sweet. But it also has a surge cost of 2 and a blue.
Whoa.
And you can cast this for its surge cost if you've cast another spell already this turn.
Hmm.
So it has to be at least the second spell that you've cast.
Okay.
It could be the third. If you're just going crazy, it's later on in the game. But it reduces the cost. And some of the surge costs just reduce the cost. Some of them just alter it. But some of them also have an additional effect. Like, if you scroll down a little bit, there is a big old dragon, the Tyrant of Valakut, for 5 red for a 5/4 flying dragon.
Rare.
Yeah. His search cost, though, is 3 red. And it says when Tyrant of Valakut enters the battlefield, if its surge cost was paid, it deals 3 damage to target creature or player.
Sick.
So not only is it cheaper, but it also gets a sweet bonus.
You know, what I think is interesting about this is Oath of the Gatewatch pre-releases Two-Headed Giant.
Yeah.
So when this says if you or a teammate has cast another spell this turn, is pretty well positioned to play in Two-Headed Giant format.
Absolutely. It's probably going to be... Like, I foresee this mechanic potentially being really sweet in Two-Headed Giant.
Yeah, because...
it's going to be so much easier because you're each playing a land each turn. It's like, they'll just cast a spell normally for their turn. And then you get to cast this as if it's just the spell that you're playing that turn.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to cast it for this cheaper surge cost and maybe get a bonus off of it.
Yeah, I think in a normal, a limited environment, that casting these for their surge cost won't be the most common thing that you see.
Yeah.
In either way, you're getting somewhat of a deal, but in the end, you're probably spending the same amount of mana. If you have a 2-drop, you can cast this for 5.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
In 2HG is where we're really going to see it shine, at least at the pre-release.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Me too.
Cool.
I'm so excited.
So yeah, that's all of the new mechanics from Oath of the Gatewatch.
Pretty baller.
There's one other card that was spoiled, so I'm just going to read this quickly for you. Scion Summoner, 2 green for a 2/2 Eldrazi Drone Devoid. When Scion Summoner enters the battlefield, put a 1/1 colorless Eldrazi Scion creature token onto the battlefield. It has sacrifice this creature, add waste to your mana pool.
Yes. Add so, colorless.
Colorless. Yes. I should probably say it like that.
To your mana pool. Very cool.
Yeah.
And that was just to illustrate how the Eldrazi scions or spawns will now have their little mana symbol on them. It won't say one generic, it'll say specifically a colorless.
So all of your old Eldrazi scion tokens now, those are kind of like retro.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing with my retro tokens today. Yes. They still say one generic.
Mine are from an antique store from last month.
Oh my goodness. Where did you find those? What antique store?
I don't want to say because it was so antique that I can't give up my sources.
Martha, you never dish with the rest of us thrifting magic ladies anymore.
I'm sorry. Look, I found my place and I just...
Fine. I understand. You don't need us.
I'm going to go glue some googly eyes on them now.
Do what you want, Martha. Do what you want.
New Year's resolutions.
Hey, do you know what?
It's going to be 2017 soon.
Maria! And
what, Megan?
Wake up!
What
it's
year
only
is it?
2015!
Oh my god. Where, 2015? Have I missed it? The Great Awakening?
No, what's the Great Awakening?
Gotta go.
God damn it. This always happens.
I don't want to disrupt the timeline, you see.
Oh. So,
yes,
New Year's is a great time to think about, hey, what do you want to accomplish in the next year?
I want to bake a cake.
That's a solid goal.
Thank you.
Cake is pretty great.
I agree.
But, you know, maybe you have some other goals. Maybe some magic-related goals.
Oh, magic-related goals.
Yeah.
But Megan, why should I have some magic-related goals?
Well, you know, magic-related goals help you, they give you something to work towards.
Oh.
I think that they really can help you grow and develop as a player. Because one, it makes you stop and kind of assess, hey, what are areas that I need to get better in? So it makes you stop and assess sort of like, what are your areas of weakness right now anyways? And then two, it gives you some actual tangible things that you're working towards. And then at the end of the year, you can measure and you can say, hey, did I or did I not accomplish those things? And maybe if I did, what are some good things that I did that helped me accomplish them? Or if I didn't, where did I fuck up?
You know, my manager always tells me to make my goals more measurable.
Your manager?
At work.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard you call them your manager.
Boss.
That's a really weird, like, managers. So, I don't know. It's icky.
You prefer boss?
Yeah.
What's the difference to you?
I feel like a manager feels like someone who is more, like, it feels like they're constantly overseeing you. Like, right? Like, they're managing
what you do all of my
constantly.
Stuff.
Exactly.
Good point.
You can be a micromanager, but you can't be a micro boss.
I disagree. Have you ever seen Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
I have.
Well, just imagine if a boss got shrunk.
Okay, but would they be able to be your boss anymore? I think they'd have too much trouble, you know, with those ants.
Do you think a person's power is only related to their size?
I mean, I know that a creature's power is directly related to its size.
Oh, snap! Oh, God.
I'm just saying, like, I think that between, you know, once you're past being a kid, all the way up to however tall people are, no.
Yeah.
But if you were this big, the answer is like, yes, that's the point at which it begins to be a problem. I would say, like, if you're, like 4 inches and smaller is where you've got an issue.
Okay, well, we'll see.
So, like we're in borrower territory.
As soon as, you know, the Great Awakening happened, I'm...
What's the Great Awakening?
I've said too much again. Ah, dang it.
Damn it.
Anyway, Megan, what's your New Year's resolution, magic related?
You know, I'm really excited about some events coming up in the next year.
Yeah.
We've got a Grand Prix right here in Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, come and see us.
Yeah, which is pretty sweet. We've kind of talked about trying to go to very intentionally actually practice and go to a modern Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try and hit up a limited Grand Prix or two. And I would say that, like, my big goal, I have two.
Okay.
My first one is to make day two of any Grand Prix.
Yes.
I want it bad, man.
Perfect goal.
I want it bad.
And now you can day two at X and three, so a lot more reasonable.
Exactly. It's always easier to grab a bar when someone's lowered it for you.
Yep.
My other goal is to 5-0 constructed league on Moto, because I suck at constructed. I'm just really miserable at it. In part because, you know, we really love limited.
Yeah.
We play a lot of limited. We enjoy limited primarily. But I do think that there's a lot of skills that you can develop playing modern and standard. And I'd like to really work at developing those skills.
Absolutely.
And I think that a good way to see that reflected would be by at some point in the next year going 5-0 in a league.
Okay, great goals. Great goals, Megan.
Yeah. What about you?
Listeners, don't let her forget those.
No.
Come 2018 when we have to...
Wake up!
What year is it?
Maria, it's 2015.
Where are we? Oh no. Okay. Oh, has the final one ascended?
Who's the final one?
Never mind. Obviously, it hasn't happened yet.
God damn it.
Okay, goals. Yes, my goals for myself. I think it would be great today to an event, and that would only happen if I'm able to make it to some limited events.
Yeah.
There's been a strain put on me recently for doing this because I've been working some pro tours, as you may know, doing some behind-the-scenes stuff on graphics, which is, you know, totally awesome and fun and great for the show because mm-hmm. I get to interview pros and all that sort of thing. But it does take away vacation time that I would be going to other limited GPs and that sort of thing. So I've got to work that out. And I think maybe one of my magic goals is being able to have a better balance so I'm able to somehow be able to get more time off to do more magic events.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to make that happen.
Just take the time off.
But we'll figure it out. I think that goes hand in hand with the show continuing to grow. And this is also not play or skill related, but the show is something that I've been very proud of for a long time. And we've just had our 3-year anniversary.
Holy snap.
Or is it our 4-year?
No, three.
3-year anniversary. What year is it? Doing the show. And and yeah, I'm really happy to have seen it grown from something. A lot of you might be new listeners. You don't know how it started. Well, Megan, you know, we started this 3 years ago and we didn't really know what we were doing. We just started talking and there you go. There you have it. And here it is today. And it's become something bigger than we ever imagined.
Yes.
And I only hope for the show to grow and for it to become, you know, bigger and better and in a more stable place. We can get everything more organized on our end and keep giving you more and better content every week.
Exactly. So one of our first steps is this, our beautiful mm-hmm. print
our beautiful
from
print.
The professor.
Thank you, Professor.
Thank you,
it's
Professor.
A Therese Nielsen Birds
exactly.
of Paradise.
And it's also in place of the peacock that everyone so missed. Even though they only ever saw the tail of it, people were really attached to the tail of that peacock.
It's a great peacock.
It's a great peacock.
But this is an even better Birds of Paradise. Yeah, and so, you know, speaking of improving things, it's going to be painted in here, hopefully by next episode.
Won't be this pukey yellow color.
We won't have yellow in here. It'll be a better color. I'll probably get our Hedron set up and all of that. We're still experimenting with camera angles. You might notice that this is a different angle this week if you're watching the video than other weeks.
Let us know. Yeah. Better? Worse?
Who knows?
About the same?
We can move this camera around. We have the ability.
Yeah. Before we glue it down.
At some point, we are going to have to glue it to the floor.
That's what everybody does, right? Like, that's what you do with the camera. You glue it to
You just glue it to where the floor. You need it.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's my personal goal is to continue to improve the show, both content-wise, amount of content, and production quality.
Absolutely.
And hopefully number of people who support us on Patreon, because that's a real measurable way that we can say these people care about us enough to just throw a dollar away or whatever every week. So that's a goal for me, as well as day-toing an event.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, so I'll be headed to, speaking of Pro Tours, I'm going to be going to Pro Tour Atlanta coming up, and I'll be doing that same stuff, holding the iPad behind the scenes in the feature match area that you saw last time.
Yeah.
And if there's anything you guys want me to ask the pros when I'm there, I'll probably tweet this out as well. Let me know, because I'll be going around doing some interviews too.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Woo!
Goals. Do you have a goal? Tweet it at us, at MTAcast. I want to know.
Yeah.
Life goals, magic goals.
Or if it's a longer goal, you can email it to us, magicktheamaturing@gmail.com.
Sweet.
So we have a couple of emails that have come in, and we don't know that we'll get around to all of them. So we're going to start with a couple, and we'll see how many we get through.
Yeah, these are all great emails, so thank you for sending them in, magicktheamaturing@gmail.com.
Or you can fill out the form on our website.
So, hello. First off, you guys kick ass and are my favorite magic resource. Yes. A close friend of mine was running magic events out of a local cyber cafe, and it grew to the point of him moving into his own store. I have been assisting...
By the way, baller job. Your friend.
Yeah, it's sweet. Awesome.
Nice work.
I've been assisting him in making things profitable and making this a venue that I would feel safe letting my own kids play as they grow up, especially my daughter. One of our main focuses in the new store was making it a place that was safe and fun for anyone wanting to play there. We followed a lot of your advice on how to make the venue a place that a female player would feel safe at. 2 months after opening, the profits are there, and Steve is willing to spend some money for some signage and possibly advertising. We know that, quote, family-friendly is cheesy to use as a descriptor, and attempting to use terms like safe zones makes us sound super creepy.
It also makes it sound like if there's a tornado, people can go there. This is where you go.
I agree.
It's a safe zone.
I guess what I'm saying is I have never had the problem of feeling out of place as I was born into white privilege. Do you have any suggestions for something we could post so that it was visible when people enter the store so they know that A, we are going to deal with your sexist, racist bullshit, and B, if you are a woman or someone who's normally not received well in game stores, we will do all we can to make you comfortable.
Yeah, I think that I kind of like, while he said like family friendly feels cheesy, you can definitely post something even just along the lines of like at the entrance to the store or in the store or several places in the store, like... players of all ages are welcome at this store, so please keep that in mind.
Yep.
Or something along those lines.
Just even broad phrases like everyone welcome or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that goes a little bit of the way too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say, everyone welcome is a nice one. And then something, I feel like something that specifically feels like it's a little bit addressing... preemptively addressing anyone who might be hurtful or unwelcoming to someone, because then if someone's going in and they're worried about unwelcoming behavior, they'll see that signage and they'll be like, oh, this store is preemptively making sure that like it's not even going to be an issue that I have to bring up.
Yeah, just say whatever behavior you won't tolerate will not be tolerated, I think, on a sign is a fine way to put it.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, there's, and you know, people have posted to Reddit before, different stores that have different signs, kind of along those lines. I don't necessarily, some of them, the ones that I'm thinking of are sometimes related to like body odor or like, stuff like a hygiene or appearance, mm-hmm. which I don't necessarily agree with those ones. But ones that are more along the lines of like, again, like, we welcome players of all ages, so keep that in mind when, like, in terms of your behavior or whatever.
And if you want to make it more inclusive,
awkward sentence.
If you want to say, you know, all genders, sexual orientations, et cetera, in your sign, I mean, I think that's fine too.
Yeah, absolutely. You can also look up, I don't know if you mentioned where it is, if it's in the US or whatever, but different, like obviously different organizations have different, like stickers or signage.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be area specific. It might be US specific. Like the US has like allies, LGBT ally stickers that you can put up in your in your windows and that sort of thing, which let people know just again by sight. And that's not even like a worded sign. That's sort of, you know, like the generally acknowledged, hey, you know, we're welcoming.
The tips that we've given on this show before for making a space welcoming for women is we wanted to have a clean restroom. And I feel like that's kind of like, it sounds kind of trite, but it does go a long way to make sure you have a garbage can in there and make sure you have a seat on your toilet. But also I would say,
like clean.
If you want to go the extra mile, I would say hire a woman to work for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also just like letting it be known, like just... I think that one of the best ways to do it, which we're kind of going into here, is just like establishing a reputation, as a store that doesn't allow like lewd playmats or lewd sleeves or that kind of thing.
And enforce the behavior that you say that you're going to enforce, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, again, it's all a little bit of, I feel like if you do the early work to lay the foundation, it's going to go a long way towards establishing like the tone of your store.
Right.
And if you put in the work to establish a good tone and a good atmosphere in your store from the beginning, eventually you don't have to super worry about like posted signs or stuff like that, because everyone who knows your store and everyone who goes there understands, hey, this is how the store expects me to behave. Or even I go to the store because I like the fact that everyone there is going to be reasonably kind and reasonably tolerant.
And this is true of all game stores. After a few months you start to get a reputation, and so you want to make sure you start off on the right foot. Because you ask any player what store they go to, or like, what is this store like? What is this store like? They will tell you within a sentence, like,
absolutely.
That place, you don't really want to go there.
Which I had an experience with a store that for a long time I didn't go to because I had a very negative experience. Yep. And when people would ask me, I'd be like, oh, no, I prefer, like, I'd say which of our LGSs I prefer. So, like, word of mouth goes a really long way towards helping with that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Okay.
Next question.
So Theros rotation was the first block rotation I was part of, and I didn't properly unload my cards. I want to know what advice you would give on identifying what cards from Cons and Fate to keep and sell before the rotation this April. From Pat.
So one of the things that you need to realize is that, like, unfortunately, if you want to unload your cards with a reasonable amount of like profit or even breaking even, you're going to be skipping out on some of standard, because you can't, you know, if the cards rotate out at the end of April, you can't sell them at the beginning of April. You're going to have to sell them in like February.
Yeah.
So that's just one thing to note, but, you're going to want to get rid of anything that's not in modern legacy or vintage, which is like Treasure Curse. And that's a common anyways, so that barely applies. So the biggest things from Cons, block that you want to hold on to is your fetch lands. Those will hold their value, and if anything, increase in value, because there's always demand for those, in modern and legacy. So you're going to, so you're going to want to hold on to those, because there will still be demand even when they're not in standard. And then people aren't opening boosters, so they have the chance to go up in price because less of them are being opened. I think Monastery Mentor is seeing a little play outside. Collected Company is seeing a little play in modern. But really, mm-hmm. the biggest things you're going to want to hold on to are fetches, and pretty much everything else you can kick it to the curb.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Siege Rhino.
You're just happy to kick any rhino anytime, Megan.
Yep. 100% we'll kick any rhino.
All right, next question we have comes from, who is this from? Matt. I wanted to ask you how you handle sore losers. There are several at my LGS that constantly whine and complain quite loudly when they lose. In one situation, this guy said, quote, I'm probably the only person in the room who can pilot your deck properly, unquote, as he loses. He clearly made his opponent and several of us around very uncomfortable, but seems not to care at all. I've tried to say something when I play against him, win or lose, saying good games, but that doesn't seem to do anything. Any advice you could give on how to handle these negative sorts would be great. P.S. Siege Rhino can go die in a ditch.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you. Yes, it can.
Yeah.
I feel like this is something that I am ill-equipped to handle because I'm fairly non-confrontational.
Whatever. You two have too confronted people at events.
That's true. I've confronted, but I feel like I've talked about getting better in the past about like calling people for rules enforcement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm still working on the how do you handle someone that's being outright rude to you or to someone near you.
So this is a really challenging problem, and it's not something that's going to be easy to deal with. But I think if somebody is making you uncomfortable and is making other players uncomfortable on a regular enough basis at an LGS, I might inform somebody in the store.
Yeah, I agree. Especially if, as you mentioned, it's not just you, it's multiple people around you, multiple opponents of theirs. They're regularly making people feel pretty crappy about themselves. That's not just a, hey, they shouldn't be acting this way. That's a, like, the store owner would probably want to know, because kind of like we were talking about earlier, establishing the atmosphere or the environment of your store, most store owners aren't going to want to have someone who's actively, like, making people uncomfortable inside of their store.
And guess what? Then it's the employee's job. They have to deal with it.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it is the store's job, right? If they want to have a nice place that people play.
And, like, maybe they decide, maybe if they don't do anything, and then you can be like, well, then I will go find some place where that kind of behavior is not encouraged. But I think a lot of the time you will find stores that are very willing to have a conversation with that person. Because, again, they're trying to keep their store a welcoming place and an enjoyable place to be.
I think it's saying good game after every game, win or lose. I don't know.
Yeah, although I have heard the argument that if you're the winner, you shouldn't say good game.
Right.
You should allow the person who's lost, because otherwise it can be a little
Correct. I don't do it unless I lose, just because I don't want to do any rub-ins or anything like that. I think that's perfectly fine. I think, you know, trying to get somebody to be reasonable after a hard loss or whatever, if they got mana screwed or something, is kind of, you know, maybe that's a little too much to ask for everybody. So if you want to have a conversation with them, I would say the best idea would be to maybe talk to them after, you know, after a little period of time, maybe they've after calmed they've down a bit. Down. Yeah. And just say, hey, like, I just want you to know that it makes me feel really bad when you like react so sorely to a loss, and it's just a game and we're trying to have fun.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a reasonable thing to say to another human being. Maybe you don't want to get into that, but that would be my suggestion of language to use in that situation.
And for me, I kind of parse out the difference between, like, if someone lost to like, obviously, like, got super flooded or they got super screwed over multiple games, that's something where I'm gonna have a little leeway for them, right? It's like, maybe, like, yeah, they probably shouldn't be complaining at me. But if they do, I try and take the, the kill them with kindness, right? It's like, I'm going to be so nice that maybe you kind of feel bad about how you're being so rude to me right now.
When it's happened to me, because, you know, it happens to everybody when somebody's like, totally, oh, you just drew the three perfect cards and they like throw them on the table or whatever. I'll be like, hey, man, it happens to everybody. You know, that's usually what I say.
Totally.
So, because it does.
and it totally does. So I would say, versus someone who is just regularly, they lost. Maybe it was a bad matchup for their deck. Maybe they made misplays. Maybe you simply played a better game of Magic. And then they're going to sit there and verbally, berate you about it.
Yeah.
That's the kind of behavior that I'd be like, I'm not going to be okay with this.
Right.
I will, I'll talk to someone at the store. I'll talk to a judge if it's a bigger tournament, something like that.
Because in the end, you're human. This person is a human. And when they're angry at you, they're usually just angry at the game. And if you humanize yourself to them, they're going to have a much harder time being rude to you or other people when they're like, oh, this is just another human being I'm playing in this game.
Unless you're playing a robot. If you make a robot angry.
Don't ever make a robot angry.
Get out of there.
I've seen The Awakening, and it's...
Get out of... The what?
Hmm?
The what?
Next email. This one's from Jeff. Hey, I have a buddy I'm converting from over from Hearthstone. You're doing the Lord's work, Jeff. Mm-hmm. He used to play Magic 14 years ago, so he has some base to build off. I'm trying to find shows he can watch to help him get his feet underneath him. Do you have any episodes of your show you would recommend for a newbie? I should say the format we play is exclusively Cube.
Oh, interesting. Well. Well, we do have a Cube episode.
Yes,
we
do.
If you go back a little ways.
It's with April, Judge April.
Yeah, who has an amazing cube.
So you can go to our website, magicthamateuring.com, and there's a search function at the bottom of the page, and you can just type in probably April or cube, and you'll find it.
Absolutely. And if you're just looking to, you know, like, reteach him the mechanics of the game, the basic concepts of magic, then, you know, you can just start off from the top.
Yeah, our early episodes deal with a lot of very basic magic stuff. We have an episode specifically about being a veteran player coming back to the game.
Mm-hmm.
That might not be so applicable, but it is in there. Yeah. It's with our friend Fred, if you want to search that one up. But yeah, our early episodes, we talk a lot of basics.
We certainly do, because we were just a couple of basics.
We were.
Basic lambs.
And we don't have videos of those, but they're in our archives.
Yeah.
Every single one of our episodes, back to episode one, is available on magicthamateuring.com.
Oh, snap.
All right.
You can also, I recommend, you know, lots of, I like watching draft videos.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like they really help me kind of get a grasp on how the game is played.
So Megan has a lot of draft videos that we've posted on our YouTube channel, which you can find by typing in Magic the Amateuring on YouTube. You can find those. There's also plenty available on Channel Fireball, which are fantastic to watch.
Sweet.
All right, here's one. A little more serious note. Hi, ladies. I love playing Magic, but don't go to the store often because I'm a transgender player and I've had some bad experiences at a couple of stores I've been to. And the one or two stores that aren't a bad community, only have events once or twice a week. A lot of content creators don't talk about players like myself or other minorities that don't feel comfortable because of certain bad apples in the community. Would you be able to spend some time talking about being more welcoming to us? Thank you, Samantha.
Absolutely. Well, one, as we mentioned before, I don't know why you've had bad experiences at stores, but I encourage you, if it's been players specifically, again, to let the store know about it. Unfortunately, if it's the people like who are running the store who aren't really coming down on that sort of behavior, screw them. They sound like jerks. But if it's just players in the store, there's a chance that the store owners might just need to be alerted to it, or you can sit down and they might be willing to hear you out on that and to they might be interested in that kind of conversation with you about how they can make their store more welcoming or what kind of issues you've been having with players. And really, like, I really hope that is the case at those stores, that there's maybe the store owners or the managers there can help make it a little bit more welcoming.
And I don't think that this is an impossible task either, because from what I've seen in the Magic community, it seems from an outsider's perspective, which is of course completely different than your own perspective, that there are a lot of people in this community who are very, very welcoming. And I would say I know personally a lot of transgender players. And I think that Magic is a great space. There's even in the lore, we have a transgender character represented, which is only one out of, like, you know,
so many
thousands so and many. Thousands. But it's there.
But it's a step in the right direction. I think it's an indication from Wizards that it's on their minds, and that it's a direction in which they want to move the game. And so, again, when you are maybe talking to stores about making the space more welcoming, you know, that's a good power to have behind you, that it's not
it's not just you.
Like, it's never just you. If you're helping to make a store more welcoming, you're doing it for you. You're doing it for all of the players who will potentially come after you to that store looking for a welcoming space. And you have Wizards behind you who have stopped and said, hey, we want to make this game a game that is welcoming to everybody. We've also said this on the show in the past, but if you have someone that you play Magic with a lot of the time, one of the things that keep, like, Maria and I going back to draft, and I think kept us going back to draft at stores for a long time, even when we were the only two women, and even when we didn't know anybody there, was just being able to go with each other.
Right.
'Cause it really... it's so nice just to have someone there that it's like, maybe if someone behaves poorly towards you, even if you just, like, again, if you were the one who got mana screwed or mana flooded, it's nice to have somebody that like you can stop and talk to between rounds, even sometimes that you can just like make eye contact with across the table as you hear some like you hear some jerk like on the other side of the store like just going off, and you're like, you can just look at them and be like, this like this guy, am I right?
Yeah,
like this, like that fucking dude, am I right?
Yeah.
But
really, I mean, like, I think having a buddy will go a long way, and it'll make you, like we said, with dealing with players who are salty or whatever, sore losers, humanizing yourself to the other players, because I think a lot of ignorance and a lot of bad behavior is born out of, you know, out of ignorance, you know, out of not knowing anybody, out of, you know, fear and what's the word I'm looking for?
Just like lack of exposure on a lot of, like... Mm-hmm. On a lot of points, just like misconceptions.
Right.
And finally, I just wanted to mention, like, I understand that a lot of that, unfortunately, places the burden on you.
Yep.
Which we totally recognize, right? We're saying, like, hey, maybe, like, maybe you have to have a conversation with these store owners. Like, that's still a scary thing to do. Maybe you have to go with a friend into this space so that you have... someone that you feel like you're there with, and you are supporting each other. Another thing that you can do if it's just like, do you know what? Those spaces, are still like resistant or still not feeling welcoming is, you said that there are stores that have a good environment, but they only have events a couple of times a week. If you know a couple of other players, we know people who have, like, the store started out only having one or two events a week, and now they have a bunch because players kind of took it on themselves to be like, hey, I know you have draft on Tuesdays, but what if we play, like, I want to play Modern on Mondays. So what if a couple of us came on Monday and we played Modern?
Yeah.
And maybe someone's there buying cards and they're like, oh, hey, next week I'll come on Monday. Because they have a Modern, and I'll play Modern.
I know our store, too, would allow us to run a draft. So
if
you had, like, 8 people that you were like, hey, we managed to get 8 people, come down to the store whatever day you want. I would bet dollars to donuts the store will let you do that because...
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can always just look at if there's stores that you like and that are welcoming, then, you know, help, like, go to those stores and maybe, you know, you can help expand kind of their repertoire of what they're doing.
And if it's important enough to you, I would encourage you to email Wizards as well, because their ears are open on this subject.
Absolutely.
And they want to hear from you as well. I would recommend also listening to The Girlfriend Bracket, which has a transgender host, Erin.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And they're just an excellent podcast.
Great podcast.
By four ladies who are all, I like that they all bring like different... Mm-hmm. We're two limited players. They have like Modern, Modern and Legacy and Draft.
And we're like limited and fart jokes.
Yep. That's really our two angles on the game.
Well, everybody, you've survived another episode of Magic the Amateuring. Congratulations. Give yourself a pat on the bum.
All right. You know, or wherever.
I wanted specifically on the ass.
Oh.
You can ask for somewhere else, Megan, but I want the bottom.
The give rump. Give yourself just a nice, like, a nice pat on the cheek. Good job.
The butt cheek.
No! The one on your face!
Oh, okay.
God damn it.
Hey, the next time you listen to this podcast is going to be 2020. And what? We're going to still be...
My God!
What year is it?
It's 2015!
Has the grand hole opened?
The what? Whatever else we do or don't change about this future you've outlined, we just need to make sure that gets a different name.
Okay, I'll work on that.
Cannot be its name. Whatever it is.
The Grand Hole.
I'm vetoing the name The Grand Hole for it.
I mean, that's what it's going to be.
No.
All right. Well, when you look into its deathless stare and feel yourself pulled apart into a million little particles, you tell me that's not a grand hole.
That sounds like just a typical black hole.
Yeah, but there's something really grand about it.
They're all big!
I think it's the fact that it has an old person's beard.
That's creepy.
Like a grand hole. Like there's your mom hole and your dad hole.
This is getting worse.
No.
This is getting so much worse. It started bad and it's been like a roll, like a straight down.
God.
It's like not even a roller coaster. It's one of those ones that is like shoot and then you just drop. It was straight drop.
The Tower of Terror.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, before we all die in some various kind of future...
It's the Large Hadron Collider, isn't it?
Shh. Remember to check out our episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, Tulare Community College on Fridays on YouTube. And you can follow us on Twitter at MTAcast, which we highly encourage. You only have a few more years left, and after all.
You are a creepy emissary from the future. Just want to put that out there.
I'm just spitting the truth, you know?
Yeah, man. If you want to find us online, I am Ice Cream Socialist.
I'm Horny _ Unicorny.
Absolutely.
You can always support us on Patreon, patreon.com/MTAcast for sweet rewards, including wristbands, stickers, this t-shirt, and the ability to choose a show topic.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Pretty sweet.
Until next year, good night.
And good luck.
And high five. That's the quote, right?
Yeah.
Good night, good luck,
and high five.